your local community radio station. This is Cirinium Radio, the voice of Cirencester.
So let's meet Nick Nelson, who owns and manages Arcadia Education, based in Cheltenham. Nick, this is an absolutely fascinating business. Your company aims to help explain art history to ordinary people. And you do this in a variety of ways, through events and courses and personal tuition. Why is it so important to understand the culture behind those famous paintings that we see in magazines, TV, galleries?
Thank you very much. Yeah, good question. A lot of artworks are very rich in detail and have a huge amount behind the surface, the paint surface. And this we call iconography and symbology. And it's the study of those forms that I want to disseminate to the going public, gallery going public. And so I don't want people to feel that they are bamboozled when they look at art or that they're lost. And therefore, hopefully, I can deliver in a language that everybody understands and imbue them with the same enthusiasm and passion I have for my subject matter. And of course, in turn, it's a reciprocal arrangement. I hope that they can bring something to a given artwork. It might be an esoteric knowledge they have on a particular field or discipline that gives me an insight further into that artwork.
Is it necessary to have some sort of, as a consumer, if you like, as one of your clients, is it necessary to have any sort of background in understanding art or art history?
I don't believe so, no. I think that it can be for anybody who is wanting to learn, of course, isn't anti the idea of learning even about contemporary art, about modern art, which is often a kind of barrier for many or a hurdle to get over at least. But I think it's open for anybody who just simply has an interest in the arts, in culture in the main. And actually, the more they can bring to it will be from their own personal fields, their own disciplines, whether that is in even biology, science, anatomy, for example. And they can bring something, as I say, unique to that artwork, which can actually give it a new dimension for somebody like me who's perhaps looked at that artwork over 100 times, you know?
Is there a different way? I mean, you mentioned there looking at modern art, contemporary art, as opposed to the more traditional aspect. Is there a different way for you to approach that? Or do you look at similar sort of symbolism and context?
I think each time it's about trying to give the viewer, the gallery goer, confidence, and so that they can approach any given genre, period, with fresh eyes, but also that kind of enthusiasm, that interest, that thirst for knowledge. But in terms of if I'm actually delivering myself on more modern art, more contemporary art, then I would do it in such a way that isn't assuming straight away that everybody gets it, that everybody understands it. So I suppose it's dismissing any kind of preconceptions and trying to give people a renewed vitality when looking at modern art, because immediately some feel, I just don't get it. You know, it's not for me, or my little sister could do this who's only this age.
You know, always so. Hear that, don't you?
That's right. And often actually, once you give them the background, give them the context and explain perhaps indeed in a very kind of specific way, a given artist's career prior to the development of modern art or their own process of abstraction, it does actually give it much more kind of history, much more gravitas and kudos. So, for example, Picasso said, you know, I could draw as well as Raphael at the age of 13, but it took me a lifetime to learn how to draw like a child. So it's that kind of approach that you can introduce, and they understand that actually behind that process of abstraction are many years of learning and of a display of skill leading up to that abstraction.
So it's really about bringing the painting, whichever it is, bringing it to life, isn't it?
For sure. Yeah. And that must mean, in many cases, going to the gallery setting. I mean, I do private tuition as well for A-level particularly, because it's quite a dying breed in some senses, A-level history of art, as you may have heard in the press. But when I do tutor in, say, London for a week with a couple of individual students, it'll always be followed up at the end with a trip to the gallery. And it's then when you really see them light up and the works come to life and they can see the actual scale and the detail of the brushwork, the frames, the context, if you like, of the setting.
How do you go about choosing, you know, if you're doing a course, because I know you put on events and things locally here, don't you, as well?
That's
as
right.
Across the country. So how do you select which paintings or which theme you're going to be looking at?
I think that's the best part, actually. It's the best bit of the job, in a sense, is setting up new themes, talks, ideas, and courses. And so what I do try and do, actually, is bring something new to the table. It could also, however, link with perhaps an exhibition at the time, or it might be bespoke for the setting. So, for example, if I'm delivering something in the Cotswolds, I might kind of link it to the Arts and Crafts Movement, William Morris, where, of course, this was the hub of the Arts and Crafts Movement. But indeed, too, I like to bring a cross-disciplinary element to this, so cross-curricular fertilisation. Therefore, it might be that I marry up an artistic theme with a literary one. So, for example, poems with paintings. I've done things on the Pre-Raphaelite Brotherhood and how they're obviously inspired by people like Tennyson and Chaucer. And so actually, in that sense, you get people who come with interest in both, or people come to that who might be literary well-versed but not necessarily in the arts. So I find those are richer font, really, from which to draw.
Do you know, everything that you've spoken about just sounds so exciting and interesting. And I looked at your website before you came to meet us today, and the testimonials there from satisfied clients, many of them mention passion, you know, that you're really passionate, as well as learned, but you're really passionate about the work that you do in bringing this, you know, to people's attention. Where did you get your inspiration from to actually set up this business?
So the enthusiasm and the passion is partly drawn from my father's influence, in fact. And he was a director of music in many major schools like Sherborne, Marlborough College, and St Mary's Caen. But he brings to everything that he does in that field of music, art, culture that he's interested in, he runs courses too,
right,
a great deal of passion and interest. But I think also a lot of it is just very naturally there or inherent because of my love of the subject, fundamentally.
So your inspiration is really based on your family connection.
Yeah, very much so. And in fact, I got the idea for the bespoke gallery trips that I run, which can either be as a group format, as I've just been to Paris, and you take them to Boston, New York, wherever it might be, to galleries, and that can be big groups. But the more bespoke ones are when I take perhaps a couple, a married couple, or mother and daughter as a kind of present, which is a really lovely thing to do. And they will perhaps drive that theme for me if I haven't chosen it myself. That idea fundamentally came from, again, my parents. And I gather that when they were first kind of courting, we might say, when they're much younger, they were both working in London and they used to meet once a week, I think on a Friday, under a different painting in the National Gallery.
Sounds very romantic.
Yeah, and I think part of it was actually finding the work in the setting, because obviously the National Gallery is a pretty complicated place to navigate, labyrinthine set of rooms and corridors. And they would then look at that one painting for as much as 20 minutes, half an hour, and then they go off to lunch and discuss it further. And I think that's a brilliant way of looking at art, because of course you're really immersed in the iconography, the symbols, the meaning, in just one given context, as opposed to what we often see, sadly, now is hordes of tourists, especially as I've just come back from the Louvre, going past in cagoules with iPhones on sticks, looking at the Mona Lisa, which is diminutive and covered with bulletproof glass, so the glare means that you can't really see it properly. Yeah, leave alone the sea of heads in front of you.
This sounds just so wonderful, fascinating, exciting, and I desperately want to come along to one of these courses. How would people get in touch with you?
Good. So yes, I have obviously a website, as many of us do now, and this is arcadia.education. There's no need for all the www dot or anything, it's simply arcadia.education. Now on there's obviously a menu for navigation purposes, and there's also a list of events, naturally, and it's really there that you'll find the information about courses, study days, and also bits on radio, of course. And also there's a host of resources on that website that I've generated over many moons and really have loved putting together, and are very willing to share with the right sort of people, of course, who show an interest in wanting to learn more about art and iconography. So it's a way perhaps for people to communicate with me by saying, yeah, I've been on your website, could I perhaps get the password to go further into the resources there?
So okay, so just give us that website once more.
Arcadia.education. education. And I might also mention we've just been in the December issue of the World of Interiors magazine. We're featured in there. We have been in the Perspectives magazine as well. So you will find that there are other sources too, including places like Barnsley House and further afield where our courses and events are advertised.
Okay, thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Your local community radio station. This is Carinium Radio, the voice of Cirencester.